everyone. Welcome to another edition of Boiled Down Brevard.
Woohoo!
Where we take the news and we boil it down. We read all the stories for you and talk about them a little bit, elaborate on them. I'm Jessica Saggio. I'm here in the studio with my co-host, Rob Landers.
Hello, everyone.
And he's going to do all the plugs. Do all the plugs.
All the plugs. Okay, before we get started today, I'd like to remind everyone to please click subscribe in the iTunes or Google Play stores or follow in the Stitcher Radio or Podomatic app so that you never miss an episode of Boiled Down Brevard where we make a nice sauce out of the news.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Let it simmer.
Let it simmer.
Let that sauce simmer.
Let it thicken a little bit. Yeah. You can follow Jessica on Twitter at Jessica J. Saggio. That's at JessicaJSaggio. Or follow me on Twitter at by Rob Landers. That's at BYROBLANDERS. Also, if you're one of those hip people who use Snapchat, you should really check out Jessica's snaps at Jujuju. That's JUHJUH. JUH. And Jessica, I'm feeling a little tired today
after
yesterday's event, but it was a really good event. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So last night was our big One Nation American Innovation, sponsored by Harris Corporation, event at Port Canaveral.
Cruise Terminal 1.
Cruise Terminal 1, which was actually really cool looking. I mean, the whole place was really neat. We had all kinds of different things. It was like an adult playground. Did you see the virtual sandbox?
I did see the virtual sandbox.
That was neat.
Where like you dig a hole and then it fills with like purplish watery stuff and then it flows out.
It was amazing. And then my favorite thing was the 3-2-1 Millennials giant Nintendo game.
Okay, so that was hysterical to watch them setting it up because that giant Nintendo controller weighs like, I don't know, a gajillion pounds. And Gary and Shane were carrying that thing in yesterday in the blazing heat.
Oh, man.
And then sitting there and trying to get the controllers and get the sensors all just right. And, like, one of them is controlling the direction of Mario and one of them is controlling whether he jumps or not. And it was fun to watch them set it up.
Did you play it?
I did not.
What?
I did not.
No, I played it.
No, I was kind of sequestered in the main room with the all of our video equipment and everything for the live stream that... it was okay.
Rob was actually working. My job was to Snapchat the event, so I had a fun job. Me and Caroline got on there. We did pretty good. We didn't win, but like we did all right. But it was actually kind of hard. Like the directional part was harder than the jumping part.
Yeah, I think Gary said that they were having some sensor issues with the directional part. Like it kept on wanting to go to the left.
So. Yeah. Someone tell my husband Fojo that because we played the two of us, and he's like, why aren't you doing blah, 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 blah? Because he was on the jumping and the fast buttons, and then I was on directional.
Wait, Fojo was there last night?
Yeah, he was there. Of course he was there. There was science and beer. It's like made for him.
Of course, right.
Yeah, so it went off without a hitch. We had all kinds of great speakers. Who was your favorite speaker?
Actually, I really liked the NASA information officer.
Me too, Ed Hoffman.
Ed Hoffman.
He was awesome.
He came out and was like wearing shorts and was just chill.
Yeah, he looked like he was going to the beach right after.
You know, you wanna make an omelet, you're gonna have to break a few eggs. Kind of spiel where you know it's okay to fail. And that was good. And that was kind of an ongoing theme last night. Is that you know if you want to innovate, be prepared to fail a lot.
Exactly.
A lot.
It was like a pick me up to fail.
I know.
And then, of course,
it's like it's okay, bounce back.
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. I thought the speaker from Adobe.
Mark Randall.
Mark Randall was really effective. He was good. He walked around the stage a lot, so he kept me busy moving the camera around on him.
Got some exercise in.
But all of our speakers were really good.
We also had Christine Herron. She's a venture capitalist. She was awesome, basically saying, go find that money if you have an idea.
And huge shout out for Florida, because she's from Florida.
Yeah, seriously. She defended Florida. I appreciated that. Fojo was a big fan of her. She was his favorite speaker of the night.
Well, she's not bad to look at.
Oh,
on
true.
Top of that, so,
true. I mean, she's very pretty.
She's a very pretty lady.
And then we also had
Dr. McKay.
Dr.
McKay from FIT.
I was like, who am I forgetting?
Who liked to make fun of the host? And
I actually really enjoyed him up there talking.
He was good. He was very engaging, and he was funny.
He was funny. I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah. But so. You can watch the replay of last night's event on floridatoday.com. The video is posted of all of the speakers. So
yeah, Rob was there documenting it all. So
documenting
yay,
it all.
Rob. He had to stand the whole time.
Yeah. And can before we go on, can we talk about the other really major event this week, which was that last night, once I got home from the event, I actually caught a Jigglypuff on Pokemon Go.
Wow.
I was so excited. That
Where'd you catch it?
It was on South Patrick in Satellite Beach.
Oh, man. Somebody told me that Grills at the port, which we were right by, was like a really good spot.
Really?
Yeah, it's like a Pokestop and everything.
Yeah, Gleason Park is my favorite place to go because there's 14 Pokestops around Gleason Park because it's a great walking track, and there's also a gym there.
Oh, so. True. Hey, you know what? Sorry, guys.
So now you know that we are talking about the phenomenon that is Pokemon Go that has completely taken over my life. But taken over my life, my wife and I like to go on Poke dates, and we'll go and we'll just like pull into a beach access somewhere in Indian Harbor or Satellite Beach, and walk around and catch Pokemon. And did you get that one? No, I didn't get that one. All right, we'll come over this way. Okay, so
then it's really brilliant. It's kind of fun, it's bringing people together. It's getting people out and moving. If you don't have the Pokemon Go app and you are just kind of resisting it because you don't maybe like Pokemon, because I'm not a big Pokemon fan. I was never into it, never had the trading cards. Now my husband has like all of them and they're like laminated. It's sick. But he was really into it. But then I got on it because I was just driving him around like all last weekend. And I'm like, why am I might as well just see what it's all about. And then I'm like hooked. And you know where I found was like a really hot bed for Pokemon? Was in the Oaklawn Cemetery in Titusville has like 12 stops.
I haven't actually been, but okay. So in Melbourne, right next to Holmes Regional, you've got the Liberty Bell Museum, and then across the street from that, you've got the park with the big pond and the fountain and all the swans that like to run and attack people. There's all kinds of Pokestops around there, and apparently across the street from that, or across the street from the Melbourne Auditorium, is the Melbourne Cemetery, which is like chock full of Pokestops as well. Like grave markers that are Pokestops.
This is probably the most active those cemeteries have been ever. I mean, there's people.
I saw
driving around.
In this realm.
My bad. I bet the one in Rockledge, because that's right down the road. We got to go. Check it out.
We should go to Georgiana.
Oh, you're right. Mm-hmm. You're right.
Maybe we'll catch a Ghastly or a Haunter in the cemeteries.
Of course, Cocoa Village is also like a solid.
Cocoa Village, you know, the malls. Although I hear Merritt Island only has like one Pokestop.
Don't even go to Merritt Island. It's not even worth your time.
Melbourne Square has five. And last Saturday when I was there, like four of them had like the lures in them to attract more Pokemon to the Pokestop.
That's cool. Yeah. The parks, all that jazz. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait. July 16th is this Saturday, right? Yeah. Okay, so I got an email. I wrote a column this week about the Pokemon Go, and Rob's kind of the expert on it, so he's probably going to write something about, like, how to actually play and do well on it, because I'm, like, level 5, and he's, like, level, like, 900.
14.
Whatever. 14's really good for only having the game for, like, how many ever days. But anyway, there's these big meetups happening, right? There's already been one in Cocoa Village. I was told 600 people were at it. I don't know if that figure is correct or not, but I'm guessing it is. I've heard it from multiple people. But there's another one this Saturday at 8:30 p.m. at Shepherd's Park in Cocoa Beach. So if anybody wants to go to...
What time?
8:30 p.m. Saturday. Shepherd's Park, Cocoa Beach.
Well, you know, that's a really good segue, because if you're into beaches, Florida Today is sponsoring one of its annual summer beach cleanups at Shepherd Park in Cocoa Beach.
Perfect.
It just happens to be 12 hours earlier.
That's okay. Stick around.
So that would be like 8 a.m. So, you know, if you're going to do a whole beach day, you could come out, you could help Florida Today peeps, you know, clean up the beach, you know, hang out on the beach for the day, and then at 8:30 at night, walk around and pick up Pokemon.
Yeah, because I'm sure there's going to be lots of people with, like, the lures out there and stuff, and I guess Sandbar is helping out there. You get, like, 10% off any food or drinks if you, like, come out to this. People are very serious about their Pokemon.
They
right
are
now.
Very serious about their Pokemon. They are. So, you know, we have a Pokestop here.
I know, and
right
for today, you can stop by. You can say you hi if you want to.
You can just, actually, it's really convenient because if you just pull in off of US 1 and pull right up to the steps in front of the building, you can usually grab the Pokestop right there. So
you don't have to get out.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, we have to walk to the front of the building, which is kind of like a pain.
Yeah.
Like 500 feet from our desks.
I know. But you know, if you're incubating eggs, then that's.
It's worth it.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. You know, I was talking to John Torres, and he said that he hasn't gotten anything good out of the eggs. And I'm like, dude, you must be doing something wrong. I got a Cubone this morning.
Really?
Yeah.
I've got one. I haven't hatched any of them, but I have to walk 10 kilometers. I accidentally did the 10 kilometer one.
That means it's going to be a good one, though.
Yeah, so I have a lot of walking ahead of me. But anyway, so I wrote about Pokemon. If you want to check it out at floridatoday.com, it's a fun one. I'm explaining it more. Like, if you don't understand what this Pokemon Go craze is about, go check out that column, because it really does explain it and why everyone's walking around like a zombie, which, as Rob points out, they're not really zombies because they know exactly where they're going.
Correct.
But from someone who's not playing, they look like they're walking around aimlessly. So.
They do. Although, I gotta say that I had to turn the augmented reality off of my phone. Okay, so for those of you that don't know, augmented reality, when you're playing the game, if a Pokemon shows up and you go to catch it, it actually engages your camera so that it's got everything around you and the Pokemon sitting in, like, your surroundings.
It's cool.
Yeah, I had to turn that off.
Why?
Because it locks in the exact direction of where you are. Which way you're facing, so you can't keep moving. You have to stop. But if with the augmented reality is off, you can keep moving, and then you can get it. And you're not like, you're less liable to trip over something, or you know, get dizzy, or something like that. So
Rob wants to keep walking while he's catching Pokemon.
Correct, because I've got to hatch eggs.
Meanwhile, everyone else who's just like stopping like mid pace in the middle of the road, they have the augmented reality on, which I like. I think it's cool looking.
It's cool looking. I like it. You know, the first couple of nights we were playing, you know, there was, you know, I was catching, you know, Pokemon in my wife's soup, and you know,
it's so
at
silly.
At auditions for, you know,
I saw
to God,
that.
And you know, so
it's a good time. So try it out. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of people resisting it, but just give it a whirl. If you hate it, you hate it. But
well, you
whatever.
Know, and that's the other thing too. And then like everything else, don't knock it till you tried it.
Exactly.
So it's actually a fun little game. So,
yeah,
anyway.
So I guess we should actually talk about real news.
Yeah, I guess so.
So
Pokemon Go is real news. Everybody's playing it.
That's true.
At the park, literally.
Yeah.
And I heard this said by a hipster who was playing. Literally everyone is playing Pokemon Go.
It's something like 60% of smartphone users in the United States have the app.
Okay.
That's
Nintendo's worth went up by $7 billion.
There's
in a
no
week.
Denying it. There's
and,
no.
And the I mean, like the meme that was going around this week, you know, Michelle Obama's been trying for 8 years to get people to get up and walk, and it took Pokemon Go, you know, 48 hours.
Yeah, I know. So, I know. It was funny. I didn't share it because I thought it was political, but I thought it was funny.
I mean, it's.
It's true.
I mean, it's not
so true.
It's not a slight against her. It's a slight against the people who were, you know, not listening to her. I mean, she
right.
was pleading for people to get up and move, and
well, it took.
She
a
didn't
video
offer
game
the incentive of catching Pokemon, I guess.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So,
lawsuits. What's
oh
going
gosh,
on in this county
so
this week?
So many lawsuits happening. Well, okay. So remember Dean Patarakis? He's the guy who had the big. Civil disobedience thing at the school board meeting where he wanted to say something and they shut him down and they had to carry him out and they arrested him outside for...
Oh, he said something and they shut him down he said erect penis.
I'm just sick of talking about it, honestly. Yeah, he said erect penis. We get it. Like, it wasn't that bad. Like, he should have been able to finish what he was saying. It wasn't a big deal.
Right.
But it became this whole huge stink. And anyway, they ended up not charging him with anything. But then he turned around and was like... All right, cool. Thanks for not charging me. You shouldn't have charged me anyway, or you shouldn't have arrested me anyway. But now I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to sue the school board. Oh, and also the Brevard County Sheriff's Office. So he says he's going to sue these people because he feels like it was all unjust. And so that's the first set of lawsuits we have to deal with. You know, you can form your own opinion on that one. And of course, you know, the whole free speech thing was a major thing with him and not having his 3 minutes to talk, because anybody who comes up for public comment at a public meeting like this gets 3 minutes to speak, and he was cut off. So he's pretty mad about it. Rob is making a face.
I have an opinion that I'm not going to share.
All right. So then there's another. All right. So then there is another lawsuit that actually has been filed, and that is, where did I put this? Anyway, I'll just tell you about it. Oh, here it is. So the firefighters union, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty ticked off because firefighters don't really make that great of money. Actually, they make pretty terrible money from what I'm hearing. And
like in the 30s?
Yeah, like $32,000 or something like that is what I think Dave Berman told me. Anyway, so they're hopping on the suing train, toot toot. And they're suing the Brevard County Commission because they want them to be able to get rid of this tax cap thing that prevents them from raising taxes, essentially, to create more money to pay the firefighters and other county employees and other services. I'm just saying the people are really the ones missing out on this because people don't want to be firefighters in Brevard County because it's crappy pay and they're going other places. And, you know, it's kind of extrapolating into other fields and with other county positions. And they say, okay, well, you guys need to do something about this. Well, the Brevard County Commission's like, we can't do anything about this. It's the law. We have this tax that the voters, this tax cap that the voters, you know, approved in like 2008, I believe. And so what they're doing is they're taking it to court to try and determine that this tax cap is unconstitutional. It's the only thing that they can do to ever make any difference here because the Brevard County Commission doesn't necessarily disagree with them. They kind of, most of them side with this union saying, you're right, this tax cap, you know, we're preventing services and yada, yada, yada. So they're going to take this to court and they're hoping that the judge says, you're right, this tax cap is unconstitutional. Let's start from scratch. So that's where we're at with that. This lawsuit is tactical. It's not necessarily we're against the commission. It's no, we need to get this done and this is how we get it done. So
right.
That's the other lawsuit. It's very different in nature. On a completely different note.
Okay, so picture, if you will, you're enjoying time on the beach, the sun in your face, the wind in your hair, and a chicken pecking in the sand next to you. Okay, so chickens roaming around yards or escape chickens on the beach in Satellite Beach. It's a funny thought, but it could become the real deal in the beachside town. The Satellite Beach City Council passed the first reading of an ordinance that would allow for residents to keep chickens on their property. Now, before you get all fouled up, you see what I did there?
Yeah. Puns.
It still has to pass a second reading on July 20th, which is next Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Before it becomes official. Now, here's the thing though, residents would only be allowed 2 chickens, no boys allowed. Sorry, roosters, Satellite Beach is not for you, and that's okay because we don't need the cock-a-doodle-doo. See what I did there? Nice little rhyme.
Yeah. He's got so many puns happening right now.
truthfully, it isn't a stretch for Satellite Beach to allow chickens. Basically, everywhere else in the county is cool with it. In fact, the county commission voted in favor to allow up to 4 hens per residential half acre. However, council members want a few changes to the ordinance before they give it a final thumbs up. So,
I think it's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
It's happening everywhere else. My in-laws' neighbors have chickens. I mean, people have them and you don't even know that they have them half
My friend
the time.
MC has chickens.
Apparently
they're her babies.
There's a lot of
She goes out and hugs them every night.
Really?
Yeah, she loves her chickens.
Aw. If they're does. Nice, if they
they're
don't
nice.
Peck
they
at
don't
you.
They don't peck. They don't like peck at her nose.
But there's so many, I guess there's so many different benefits to having them. I mean, I've never had them, but...
Eggs. You get eggs.
But, I mean, I don't... You know why no roosters? You know what is it because they're loud?
Yeah, they're very loud, and they'll crow at all hours of the day. Okay, so again, tapping into this former life of mine that Jessica has no idea about, the 7.5 acres of land that my parents owned in Mississippi that I mentioned last week on BDV, on the back part of that property, we had chickens.
Of course you did.
We had like 20-ish chickens in the coop, so I'd go out and get the eggs every day.
And did you feed them?
I was supposed to go out and feed and water them every day, but
like Cinderella, yeah, like with the chicken feed. Cinderella. You know what I'm talking about? That scene where she's like feeding the birds.
They had this big like grain feeder thing that you like flipped it upside down and you filled it with grain and then you screwed the bottom back on and turned it over. It was like one of those cat feeders, like one of the automatic cat feeders. And then there was supposed to be like this thing for the water too, and yeah, I was never really into feeding the chickens.
Rob starved his chickens.
Yeah. Lame. I used to get in trouble all the time because I wouldn't feed her one of the chickens. So
you don't seem like a farm boy. Sorry. I've said it 100 times.
You know,
times.
I learned how to drive on a tractor.
I believe that.
I did.
I believe that. all right. So, you know, for those of you who, you know, don't want to be farmers, there's plenty of high-tech jobs right now.
Apparently more coming.
Weird segue, but... So we have some really good news this week. I've really enjoyed this because it just makes me happy to see this happening. And that is, there's been 2 really big job announcements. Rob, have you prepared your resume? Because I'm seriously thinking about it.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, guys, I'm an engineer. Anyway.
I'm not an engineer. I don't math.
He kind of is an engineer because he does all the sound and the video. Like, that's engineering.
That's plugging cables in.
He's underestimating his job. But anyway, so there's this company called...
Blushing.
That no one really can pronounce. It's called Talus. Am I saying that right?
I thought it was Thales.
I thought it was Thales too, okay?
Maybe it is Talus.
Wayne Price, our reporter, says it's pronounced T-A-L-I-S. So Talus.
But it's spelled
Talus.
Like...
It's French.
Talus. It's spelled like Thales.
It is. It's spelled like Thales. So if you Google it, it's got a T-H.
It's like the Thames River in yeah, London. It's not spelled that way.
It's goofy. It's not American, I guess. Anyway, it's a French multinational aerospace and defense company, and it may be Brevard's next Oprah, as in you get a job. They're adding...
Everybody gets a job!
They're adding 327 more jobs in Melbourne and another 173 in Orlando. What did you just show me?
Oh, I just got
Are
a
you
medal.
Pokemoning? I'm talking about the news and you're Pokemoning. This is more important, Robert.
Sorry. I'll put it down. I just caught a Spearow. I don't do anything with those except send those directly to the professor now, so anyway.
Well, now that we know what Rob is doing. Anyway, this is why he's not going to get a job at Talus, because he can't pay attention. I'm just kidding. He works for Florida Today. You can't take him. Anyway, so there's all these jobs. The average salary is $64,356 annually, and the company is reeling in about $1.38 million in incentives spread over 10 years for this deal. So the county is definitely helping them out with this one. So they're bringing in jobs. So if you're in that field...
Wait. This is the group that bought they bought Live TV, right?
Formerly Live TV, but
yeah.
Harris.
Okay, so they're the ones that are on Babcock Street.
I think they're moving somewhere else.
Yeah, because I think it's funny that because they got these incentives, but Matt Reed wrote a column not too long ago about the incentives that these companies around the airport have gotten. Mm-hmm. And the infrastructure, like Babcock Street, is like riddled with patchwork, pothole fixes, and it's like,
go figure.
It's like crappy on your car.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But remember that whole thing we're talking about called Project Marathon? You probably don't remember.
No.
These things have like...
Oh, Project Jaguar. And
yeah,
they have
these
like Project
names.
Magellan, which was Northrop.
Yeah, yeah. They have these like names to where you don't know what it is. This was Project Marathon for the longest time. And so now we know what it is. So if you've heard the term Project Marathon, it's Talus and their big jobs thing. So that's one. So we've got jobs coming to the central southernish area there. And also... This delights me as a Titusville resident. Lockheed Martin is bringing in more jobs to North Brevard. The company is adding another 300 jobs as it expands. Its Brevard location focuses on spacecraft manufacturing and testing on the Space Coast. Of course, they got in a ton of incentives too, $5.7 million. But the average salary for these jobs is $89,000 annually, and at least 50 jobs need to be added by the end of 2017. So we're going to see these jobs come about pretty fast. It's all thanks to the North Brevard Economic Development Zone. They threw them a grant, too, to make this happen. So lots of big, good changes as far as the job climate here. Brevard's really coming back fast and quick. So.
Well, and we're diversifying. We're not just space. We're aerospace, and that's a good thing.
Yes, it's beautiful.
Okay, so...
This is a fun one.
Okay, so from really good news to... Okay, so canals in the beachside city of Indian Harbor Beach are looking like they just hosted an episode or two of a Nickelodeon Double Dare remake.
Very nice.
Why do I say that? Because residents there are reporting green slime in those very same canals where just a few short months ago, raw sewage was flowing into the canals from a broken pipe.
Cool.
Yeah. All kinds of scientists are testing the water, including those from Florida Institute of Technology and the Fish and Wildlife Research Institute. The good news is this is not the same toxic blue-green algae that's been turning rivers and some areas of the ocean into something out of a Ghostbusters movie down in South Florida. It is also not the same stuff that causes brown tide. So, once again, just when you think one problem has moved out of the lagoon, there's always another one laying in wait. Ew.
Yay.
That's, yeah, slime.
I know, it's gross, but like, what were we expecting? We accidentally dumped 1 million gallons of sewage.
Are you now taking a photo?
I'm taking a Snapchat of you Pokemon while we do the podcast. Okay. Yeah, I am. I just want to document it. Okay.
So yeah, you can see that on Jessica's Snapchat at jujuju again. J-U-H-J-U-H-J-U-H.
It's ridiculous. What filter am I going to put on it? Do we have one? We need a For Today filter.
They won't give us one.
Ah, stupid, stupid, stupid,
I've
stupid.
Asked. They won't give us one because we're a business.
I know. It's only a matter of time.
And we're also a really small geographic area. I know.
Lame. Ugh. Okay, so from bad news to good news, because, well, this is kind of both bad and good news, how you take it. But, okay, you know those Doge memes? The Doji dog? The little,
yes.
It's a Shiba
Inu. The one with the smile.
Yeah, and it's like, wow, such Doge. Much awesome. Very excited. You know what I'm talking about? Like they're like one of my favorite memes, okay? Well, a Doge, it's literally the same dog as the Doge meme, the Shiba Inu, saved its family in Rockledge the other day during a fire. Yeah, so this family was, they have like a condominium in Rockledge, and Jade, a Shiba Inu, barked until its owners got the hint and woke up. It was happening in the middle of the night. The dog sensed the fire, got everybody up. They got out of the house, they got all their pets, and they had a lot of pets. They had 4 dogs, 2 cats, and 3 turtles. And they also had children, so they had a newborn baby and a 4-year-old. So this family got out in time thanks to this dog, and they lost basically their whole home, which is the really sad part of this. The Red Cross stepped in. The family has a temporary place to stay in Cocoa Beach. They haven't figured out the cause of it yet, but my gosh, the doggy.
That's awesome.
He saved the day. It's a very Lassie story, which makes me happy. But
what's the matter, girl? Timmy fell in the well?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I know. So that's kind of a feel-gooder, but also a feel-badder at the time because I feel really bad for this family. That really stinks, and that's a big family. You know, a family of 4 with that many pets, that's got to be hard on them. So, You know, keep them in your thoughts as they find somewhere to live and get all their things back, hopefully, eventually. And I knew they'd lost everything, so... Bad news there.
Yeah. So ketchup on French fries, delicious. Ketchup on I-95, not so delicious. This week, a ketchup truck, literally a ketchup truck, not to be confused with the generic catsup.
Oh my God, overturned hate that word.
I know, right? Overturned on I-95 near Malabar, shutting down the interstate and backing up traffic. One of the truck's tires suffered a tread separation. I'm hearing a lot more of that lately.
Yeah,
maybe
it's a lot
because
of
the warm pavement. I don't know. Or maybe people just need to get their tires checked.
We have a whole story on just the tire tread issue.
Right. So anyway, the driver lost control. The truck then overturned, busting the roof off the trailer and spewing loads of Heinz tomato goodness across the interstate. The driver was uninjured and, like many of us, was waiting for a truck full of hot McDonald's fries to overturn as well.
Yeah. Mm. At least it was Heinz, because you know what? That's the only ketchup that's acceptable, in my opinion.
Fancy ketchup.
No, not fancy. You know what I really don't like? When you go to a restaurant and they have like, they're like a good restaurant, like you really like them, but they have some kind of like rando off-brand ketchup and it tastes, it's like too sweet or too vinegary or something. And you're like, no, like I like you. Like stop. Chintzing on the ketchup. We need Heinz. I mean, I'll settle for Hunt's. Even like Publix brands, okay. But Heinz, man, you gotta go Heinz. And so at least the truck was carrying Heinz, right?
Right.
And nobody got hurt.
Nobody got hurt.
So it's okay to laugh at this one.
Nobody got hurt. The ants on the interstate got fed, you know.
Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah.
And I saw the pictures and like most of the ketchup that came out was like still packaged. So it didn't even look like they lost that much inventory. Yeah. I don't actually know that, but it looked like it from the pictures. So not bad. All right. So there's one last good thing. I don't know if I brought it with me.
Oh, it's right there. You just skipped over it. Right? Isn't that it?
Oh, yeah. That's it. Okay. So one last little piece of economic good news. So remember the moon? You know, we used to care about the moon a lot in Brevard County, right?
Mm-hmm.
We went to it. We studied it. It was a big deal. The Apollo missions are pretty much what made the Space Coast what it is. Anyway...
All of which happened like before half of our listeners were even born.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Well, it was before I was born too, but I still know about it. You should know about it. Well, we're going back. Thank goodness. It's nice to hear that we still care about the moon. There's a guy named Bob Richards. He owns the, or he doesn't own, but he's the big cheese of the startup Moon Express. Basically, their whole thing is they want to go and study the moon. They want to figure out how to deliver cargo there, make it habitable, how to live off the land, per se. And they just scored a deal with...
Well, they're going to Cape Canaveral Air Force Station.
That's
they're
it.
Taking over Launch Complex 17 and 18.
Right.
And they're about to drop some major cash because the renovations or the upgrades for each of those launch complexes is going to be about $2 million
yeah.
each site. So they're planning on spending some money, and they want to have... they want to have unmanned landers ready to go to the moon as early as next year.
Right.
Now, ultimately, what this company really wants to do is go and find ice on the moon so that they can send humans or colonists to go and kind of live off the land
right.
and use water. And but that's kind of cool. I mean, you know, they're going to go, they're going to look for ice because water is, you know, the most precious commodity for life. But they're going to go and look for ice that, you know, can be used to hydrate astronauts and water plants and
right.
create oxygen in an atmosphereless environment. So
pretty big dreams, but, you know, I'm excited about it. I'm excited we're going back there. I'm hoping we're going to go to Mars, too. I want to go all the places. So
well, according to our speakers last night at One Nation, we're going. We're going. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you have innovation. Can I just say, though, that when I hear the name Moon Express, I immediately think of a rocket, but with, like, the animated version of Tom Hanks from Polar Express on it, like, waving, kind of, you know, and maybe Josh Groban writing some song that goes along with going to the moon.
Can you just ride to the moon real quick?
Yeah.
On Christmas morning.
Yeah, Christmas morning you go to the moon to find
presents
Santa.
Presents are waiting for
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
and
funny.
Santa's leg gets shot down by an alien spaceship or something. I don't know.
But, you know, if there's water up there, according to the movie Signs, if there's water, there won't be aliens because that's what kills aliens, right? Water.
Water kills aliens?
Did you see that movie Signs?
I never got the end of it. It was like, yeah.
It's really scary. I can't believe I ever watched it because, like, my biggest fear in life is aliens, like, coming to get me. So.
Really?
Yeah, and I actually watched
did
that
you
movie.
See? Did you see Independence Day Resurgence?
No, I don't watch movies
it's
with
so
aliens,
stupid.
Period.
It was so stupid. But apparently, that's why they come and attack us anyway, because they want our water. It's the same premise of the miniseries V back in the day.
Oh.
They wanted our water, and like in V, they were taking humans for food.
Oh.
But
oh, well,
yeah.
See, that's why I don't watch them. I can't even watch E.T. Like, all right.
But see, Kathy doesn't like E.T. Do you really think E.T. is going to take... Oh, no. Really? You think E.T. is going to kidnap you?
No, I just didn't like him.
Did you watch Cocoon?
No, I don't watch any of those movies.
Cocoon is another one of those movies where it's like the aliens come
down.
And, but they're nice. They're good aliens.
I'm sure. And I'm sure there's lots of lovely aliens out there.
So you have problems with aliens. Do you watch Star Trek?
No.
Star Wars?
No. I told you. It's like
and Fojo married you?
I used to live in South Tampa, and it made me nervous because I was that close to Clearwater, where all the Scientologists were. I thought, well, if the aliens are going to come, they're there. And now I live right next to Kennedy Space Center. So I feel like I shouldn't even live in the state of Florida, personally. Like, I need to go to, like, Kansas. Unless that's where they have the crop circles. That's not where they have the crop circles, right?
No, the crop circles are in England.
Oh, I thought that was in, like...
No, but you don't want to go to Nevada either because that's
right.
where, you know, Area 51 is.
Yeah, I don't want to go there.
No.
I don't know what my problem is.
You don't want to go to Arizona because that's where the crater is.
Right. And also, okay, listen. It's a rational fear. The odds of there not being aliens out there are very low. There's aliens out there somewhere. We just don't know where they are. That's my opinion. So I have a very rational fear. It's just we don't know if they're nice or mean. And if they're anything like us, they suck. Humans suck. So.
True. True, they'd want to come in and take over.
Well, now that we've officially talked about a bunch of crap on here.
I mean, seriously, that's the last thing I would need is, like, aliens to come in and for them to just look at us and go, you're doing it wrong, and push us out of the way and show us how to, you know, adult the right way, because, no.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Maybe we need that. I mean,
maybe
depressing.
That would be good. Okay, now that we've gone completely off the rails...
Yep.
Talking about aliens. That's going to do it for us this week. You can read most of the stories that Jessica and I just talked about inside the pages of Florida Today on floridatoday.com and on the Florida Today mobile and tablet apps. And if you are interested in watching the recap of the One Nation Live event, you can find that there as well. Have a great week, everybody, and we're out of here. We'll talk to you next week, maybe a day early. So I'm going on vacation.
All right, Rob's going on vacation.
Yep. Okay, so, bye.
Bye.
Bye.